all, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonite. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Raam. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of the bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rite after having a menstrual period. Then she returned home. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, "I am pregnant." Then David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent him to David. When Uriah arrived, David asked him how Joab and the army were getting along and how the war was progressing. Then he told Uriah, "Go on home and relax." David even sent a gift to Uriah after he had left the palace. But Uriah did not go home. He slept that night at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. When David heard that Uriah had not gone home, he summoned him and asked, "What is the matter? Why didn't you go home last night after being away for so long?" Uriah replied, "The ark and the armies of Israel and Judah are living in tents, and Joab and my master's men are camping in the open field. How could I go home to wine and dine and sleep with my wife? I swear that I would never do such a thing." 12. "Well, stay here today," David told him, "and tomorrow you may return to the army." So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day, and the next, then David invited him to dinner and got him drunk. But even then, he couldn't get Uriah to go home to his wife. Again, he slept at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. 14. So the next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and gave it to Uriah to deliver. The letter instructed Joab, "Station Uriah on the front line where the battle is fierce. Then pull back so that he will be killed." So Joab assigned Uriah to a spot close to the city wall where he knew the enemy's strongest men were fighting. And when the enemy soldiers came out of the city to fight, Uriah the Hittite was killed along with the several other Israelite soldiers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The topic for tonight, as the Holy Spirit will help us, I have two topics, so either which way. The hidden danger or operating in the dark. So like I told us with what Daddy Gio shared with us this morning, that gave me the second topic, which is operating in the dark. I know we've always talked about this account in the Bible, and we've always pointed at, you know, David, what he did and everything and everything. Now, I want us to please dig deep. Not that I want to bring out, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, politically, you know, whatever with this verse. But as I was reading this verse sometimes last week, it just jumped at me that, yeah, we've been talking about David and what David did. What about you, Uriah? There's something that we as Christians, something as we as individuals need to learn also from the action of Uriah. The Bible recorded that it wasn't as if David purposed that he was going to, you know, go into that act. It was just because he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. He was supposed to be in the war, but he decided to stay behind and was wandering aimlessly around and found himself in big trouble. And not only that, he could not hold back himself and say, "Get thee behind me," but entered into the scene, and voila, what happened? Bathsheba was pregnant. The Bible recorded that when he discovered the intention, according to the account of the Bible, I don't know, but according to what we have been told here, I believe the intention of David was not initially to kill Uriah. That was not his intention. His intention was to, you know, now try to maneuver it so that, you know, Uriah can sleep with the wife. And so that if he sleeps with the wife, he can jail if the wife says, "I'm pregnant." So nobody's going to question. They say, okay, he was at home. So. They will not trace it to David. But the Bible recorded that he attempted it twice. But Uriah was stubborn. sorry to use the word. He was adamant by not go. And I was saying, after being told that you have been in war for long, you go and sleep with your wife now. But he said, no, I'm not going. I prefer to. What kind of man is that? How many men will go on a visit for 1 week or 2 weeks or three, even or 1 month and 1 year, and you will not be looking forward to sleep with your wife? I said, what is wrong with this man? I said, maybe if he had gone, he wouldn't have died untimely death. The Bible recorded that he did it once, and he said, oh, why would I go? And my people are in the tent. They are suffering me. I'll go and sleep with my wife. So why did you go to dinner with David? You could as well just sat out and stayed out and not go drink, because that is also part of enjoyment, right? So why did he opt out for one and opt in for another? Because both of it are enjoyment. He was drinking. How did he get drunk? He got drunk, obviously, maybe by sitting with David and enjoying, and before he knew it, he got drunk. And still, that did not work anyway. So, the Bible recorded that David was having saying, oh my God, I've tried everything. What can I do? And he tried the last straw, which is to put him at the forefront where it was really, really bad. And Uriah was not sensitive. They told you that the king wanted you. You are not Joab. You are not the commander-in-chief. Why would the king be looking for just somebody out of the army to come? And not only that, you got there. The king was asking you about the account of the battle. Is he the commander-in-chief? It should be like, what concerns me? It's like when they say Trump calls me now. I'm saying, what concerns me concerns Trump? You know? I'm saying, why is he calling me? I'm not, favor can work in my favor. I'm not saying that, though. But you know, your antenna will raise like, what does President Trump, in all this America, how many 50-something states and how many local government, it is doing Moduku. My spirit, not that I will be bothered, but I will be praying the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, take control. You know, something like, so I was just wondering, I'm just laying this foundation for us to please. I just wanted to admit, I want to learn. I was saying that when they asked him that David wanted him, he didn't even, his spirit, I don't know how, the Bible did not record it, but I'm saying that he would have said, what does the king need me for? He got to the palace, and the king was asking him the account of the war. His spirit did not even break, it also break him that, why is he asking me? Joab is there now, he's the commander-in-chief. He should be able to call his commander-in-chief and say, what is going on? How far with the place? The king now told him, go home. He would have just, even his heart still did not prick in that. What is this man looking for in me? He still was fighting that my people are in the war. My wife, that's not, I'm committed to the, even though the Bible recorded that he was a committed man. Because for you to be in the army, David's army, you have to be committed. You are the chosen people in David's army. Those are the people that they call them David, I think about 40 something or 80 something at that time. So he must be a committed person. I give that to him. But after they told you, go home, license, bam. It's just that some people in Iraq now, if they tell them to come back home to their family, I'm sure they will dance for joy. I can see that. I can say that because most of the time when they bring them back home, they are always crying and joyful that they're back to meet with their family, because some of them died in the war front. Some of their mates died in the war front. So they pulled you back and they say, okay, go and enjoy your wife. You've been out there for long. You will jump for joy, and although you will say, what is this man looking for? Thank you, sir. Let me go and at least enjoy myself and come back. It's just like your boss saying, Toyin, I give you 1 day vacation out of your 4 days vacation or 2 days vacation. I will not question, because I need that 2 day vacation. I will go and enjoy my. So, you know, David called him and told him to go. He insisted. He slept in the palace. But why? When his wife was at home. As I was reading, I said, maybe if he had gone to sleep with his wife, David would not have thought of plan B, which is to eliminate him. He woke up the next day. David still said, you are not here again. You are not in your wife's, you are not in your home with your wife. What are you doing here? I cannot go home. I've signed up for this. Okay, yada, yada. You could have said, King David, please, let me go back. But he stayed behind and got himself into trouble and got drunk. But still, he did not go home.
And his heart did not prick him that what is going on. And they gave him a letter. And they said, okay, go back to the war front. And he did not even prick him that what is in this letter? So why did you bring me? You only brought me to ask me about the war. You only brought me to go to my house. Why did you know? I'm thinking that was he asking himself those questions? Like, you know, like I'm just looking at myself as from my own perspective, what I would have, you know, what if I was in his shoe, what I would have done at that time. So they gave him a letter, and I was thinking that okay, he's a soldier who has been in the war and he knows how the war is, and he got to the war front and they put him where it was deadly, and he did not question it. And he did not. So I was just and as I stumbled on the thing that the GO shared this morning about privilege to classified information, I think as Christians in this dispensation that we are in, it is important that we walk with God, we walk with the Holy Spirit, who in then speak to us at all time as to what and how the steps, the know-how, they don't do, they don't go, they don't accept, they accept, those things. Because if we find ourselves not being able to have the Spirit of God in us tell us things, there's bound to be calamity. There's bound to be destruction. There's bound to be loss. There's bound to be calamity. There's bound to be loss. There's bound to be destruction, which was what happened to Uriah. I believe if Uriah, if the Holy Spirit, that was not the time of the Holy Spirit. But if his mind would have pricked him, I think he wouldn't have died. I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't think that was in the plan of God, because the Bible did not reveal that to us, that God wanted to, you know, punish David because he's going to do something. It just, the account was just in the Bible, right? So I don't think it was preempted. I don't know. So Uriah just died like that, without no child. His story just died. Even though David was punished for his act, where I'm going to tonight is that, you know, we need to be mindful of the actions, inactions, decisions that we make, so that we might not cause ourselves pain, so that we will not cause ourselves destruction. Yeah, the people, God forbid, like they said, America is a country where there's law. Yeah, there's the same killing that is happening in Nigeria. They are killing people a lot here, but the difference is that the people that kill, they will, even if it's 10 years, they will find the person, they will jail the person. But guess what? The damage has been done. The damage has been done already. So that destiny has been eliminated. So as I bring us this verse tonight, like I said, I know we are always sharing the aspect of David. I want us to look at Uriah and see how this Uriah personality or Uriah person plays with us as an individual. Most time, we are sold out to a cause. And as I was also going, preparing this, it brought my memory came up with the sermon our sister told us. He said, is it good or God? That sermon had stuck with me, and I thank God it's not going to leave me. So is it good or godly? That was the two. There's some things that are good, but does it mean that it is godly? Yes, Uriah was a man that was disciplined. Yes, Uriah was the man that was committed. But at that time, not going to his house, not obeying the king, is it godly?
I don't know the mind of God. These are some of the questions that you get to heaven and ask. But I want to believe that, again, if you had gone back home, he wouldn't have allowed, or David wouldn't have come up with a plan B, which is to eliminate him and get him out of equation. So as we journey in life, as we live in this earth that we are in, it is important that God reveals things to us, because then we are not able to enter into the trap of the enemy. We will not be able to fall into the pit that the enemy, because Uriah did not even know what David did. Uriah wasn't aware that David slept with the wife. Uriah was not aware of anything. He wasn't aware that there was danger at the back of the, there was hidden danger. He wasn't aware. And he walked into it. And his destiny was closed up. His destiny, his life was cut short. If God will continue to reveal things to us, we will not find ourselves in disarray, in distress, even in the midst of storm. That the Jesus spoke about Paul when they were traveling. That was the open heaven this morning. He said it was already told unto Paul that on this journey that they were embarking on, there was going to be storm. There was going to be this. And he advised them, Paul advised them, please let us not go this route. But they failed to listen. And they went on the journey. And the Bible recorded that the storm was so bad that people had to now start throwing all their belongings that were in the boat into the water so that they can sustain the boat, so that the boat will not capsize. I was saying to myself that if they had listened to Paul, they wouldn't have suffered loss in terms of their possession. Most times as Christian, it's just most of the pains and most of the troubles and most of the challenges and things that we find ourselves, God already knows. There's nothing that God is shocked or surprises God. Nothing surprises God. Everything, God is aware of it. When God is aware of it, he reveals it to his own. The Bible recorded that in Genesis, the Bible says that God said, why won't I tell my son Abraham this? Why won't I show him? Why won't I expose this to him? So, as I was pondering on Uriah, I was just saying, Father, if only Uriah had discernment to know that this was a trap, to know that this was something that the king was trying to do. If he had something pricking him, I'm sure he wouldn't have died. I don't know how he would have ended it, but according to the Bible, because he failed to go the way David wanted, he ended up dead. His life was cut short. As I've laid down this for us, I just want us to share. Again, for as many of us that came in, we are talking about the account of David and Uriah in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. The hidden danger or operating in the dark. You know, when you are when you operate in the dark, sometimes when you look at it, let's say the space is dark, there's no light. And we are trying to put the chairs together. What is going to happen is either we bump into walls, or we bump into that pole, or we bump into the other chairs that we have already put there. So when we operate in the dark, there's bound to be so many negative results. And we cannot afford to operate in the dark in this dispensation, because the Holy Spirit has been given unto us to direct us to all things. In order for us to be able to have victory over most of the problems, the troubles, and things that, you know, are around us,
We need God to show us. We need God to speak to us. We need God to tell us. We need God to download heaven's knowing of the event. Even if it's not something that is palatable, but God would already give us a shock absorber to be able to withstand it. Because he did not promise us that it was going to be good all through. He said, even when we go in the fire, he will be there. He said, when we pass through the rivers, when we pass through the waters, he will not allow us to be drowned. That is his promise. So the importance of him revealing to us the things that we need to know is helping us to get ready, to be able to brace up ourselves. So when it happens, we are not afraid. We are not scared because we know that God has already revealed it unto us. All we just have to do at that time is just to bless God and begin to thank God, because we know God is going to bring us out of it. Because he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered them from all of it. We know that that affliction is just for a moment and it's going to pass away. But for people that don't have the understanding, people that don't have any, have not received from heaven, they're just going to be going round and round thinking that God is not, God does not love them. God is not aware of what is going on around them and things like that. Please, contribution. Dig in deep.
I told us I'm also here to learn. Yes. Let me try. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
One thing that jumps out here is that this what happened here definitely happen. It has, it's something that is sort of, I don't know what I can call it, but it's something that's supposed to happen. Number one, the Hittites, who are they? Despite the fact that he's fighting, for David, the Hittites, they are adversaries of the Israelites. That's number one. Here, I don't see what Uriah did wrong. If you look at verse 11, he talked about his passion to be there. I have people fighting. Why should I go home and go and sleep? There are so many people fighting. That's one thing. His passion showed there that, I'm not going to leave others and then go and rest. First of all, I was there. Then he came in. You can see how David, it is preordained that man will not go back into his house to expose David. Because if he had gone back to his house, David wouldn't have been exposed. Although God will reveal it. But it will look like, okay, he's the man who did the work, not David. So there are certain things that you look here, and you'll find out that we don't have to put that, serious blame on that man, the Hittite. And then, if you look at the Bible, he said I don't know how it's now in the Bible. The sin of four generations. You don't know what I'm only saying, it's not in the Bible. But all we know is that Hittites, they were the people who dealt seriously with the Israelites. So when you look at this story getting up to the level where he was killed, they told the man, go to your house, go and sleep. Instead of going to his house, he was with the servants of the king. He stayed there. How can we relate that? There is one thing I can bring out know, sometimes we are adamant. We think that we are doing the right thing. But that's not what God wants us to do. That's what I can bring out from here. Though I will look at this man that he had no problem by staying. He showed his passion. But you know, go to your house. He didn't go. But I believe that there's a reason why he did not go back. Because if he had gone back to his house, probably this thing wouldn't have come out. Although the Holy Spirit will reveal it. Because at the end of the day, it was the Spirit of God who revealed to the prophet. So, that's the only thing I can take out of this topic. Praise the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Daddy.
Praise the Lord. The Bible studies, we are all learning. We all give our, the way we understand it. God will speak to us differently. I may not be right. But I'm thinking that this was beyond Uriah himself. You know, when God wants to do something, God will put it in your heart. Humanly speaking, I haven't seen a man who will not want to reach his house after many, you know, a long time of not being with the house, with the family or the wife, so to speak. But because God made it happen, put it in him, that he didn't even think of going. Even when he was drunk, the seed did not go. If it had to do with the flesh, Uriah himself, I think he would have gone to the house to sleep with the wife. Yes, God did not want what David did to hide. And I want to believe that God too was trying to teach David a lesson. You know that if it doesn't matter to God when we go home, so to speak, God doesn't prick him when we go home. As long as we are living right, you know, this is my child, we are living right and we are going home. He can allow you go home just to prove a point. Uriah died doing the right thing. David learned a lesson. If it was just for himself, he would have gone home. So I don't think it's like, oh, he wasn't thinking fast or he wasn't sensitive enough to know that there was danger by the corner. Because, I mean, everybody will jump at that offer. Everyone will say, why me? Why is the king sending for me? They'll ask too many questions, you know. But he didn't think about all of that, but we are not sure. He could also be that Uriah was thinking that maybe David is trying him, putting him to test, you know, to see if he will actually leave people that are in the war front to go and sleep with the wife. You know, like in the military, I don't know so much. I know that when daddy wants to talk, he will teach us. But my father was a soldier. So I have opportunity to know a few, some small things. You cannot leave the war front to go home. It's not possible, no matter what your rank is. So that he may have been thinking that it was just a test. As a soldier, he knows it was impossible. So he wouldn't do it. And again, maybe, like Daddy rightly put it, God wanted to punish David. Maybe he wanted David to learn a lesson so that he will know that there's something, when you make small mistake, it can be costly. That small mistake that you make can be very costly. And it became so costly for him because, I mean, why was he not at the war front? He was supposed to lead them to war as a king, as their leader. He stayed at home. Okay, you stay at home. You didn't stay inside your house. You are now looking up and down. The Bible says, if your eyes be single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes is not single, your whole body cannot be full of light. Being, you know, there's a spirit, that kind of spirit in David's life already. So the devil also helped him to see what he would like to see. I'm bringing him down, so to speak. I know that as others contribute, we will get the real meaning. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. think we are all trying to see the possible reason or the possible factors that could have led to Uriah's, you know, being adamant, Uriah being adamant at that time. I have two things running through my mind. Could it be that when Uriah left the house, when he left his home, he had a disagreement with the wife? And then, of course, you don't want someone to know that, you know, you have a disagreement with your wife before you leave. They're like, oh, I'm so passionate about this course. King, I won't go back. I'm so passionate. Meanwhile, it's because of the ego. I also want to say that I prefer the second topic, which is hidden danger. Because I choose to see from, because of the lesson that I want to learn from this, which is to be spiritually attentive at every point in time. I choose to take that topic and I choose to see that Uriah was not spiritually sensitive. Because if indeed he was so dedicated to that course, just like you said, and he was saying that, oh, because he's so much dedicated to this course, I don't want to go home and dine or sleep with my wife, then that same reason should have stopped him from getting drunk. If you are getting drunk, that nullifies that position for me. Because if indeed you are a family man, you are so into your wife, you would choose going to your wife, even if not to sleep with her, just to fellowship with her on, let me just gist you, oh my God, because I don't know if I go back, if I will return or not. It's a game of life or death. And then you have an opportunity to go home and are telling me that you are so dedicated to which course. Okay, even if you are dedicated, but you got drunk, the first day you didn't go, the second day you didn't go, then there is something wrong. So now let's see. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it's a possibility that he had a disagreement with his wife and did not want to go home. And that is also one thing that we should look out for. That's also one thing that we should look out for. But like I said, I believe that everything happened that the name of God should be glorified. Everything happened that as it has been written, it should come to pass. But I choose to see it from the angle of being spiritually sensitive, because like you said, after amongst, it's like, just like you said, President Trump calling me now. Amongst, I'll be happy that, oh, he called me. But at the same time, when I go, no, let's even say it's fine. You know, he brought, you know, people to come, my entourage and everything. As I'm there, I'm like, oh God, my yeah, Canada, what is happening? You know? Yeah. Because I need to speak right. I need to answer appropriately. I need to know what is going on. And at the end of the day, he now gave me a letter. I don't know what is inside. I now got there. They now placed me in front. Fine, it is possible that I'm thinking that, oh, maybe it's for my promotion. But it's at the war front. I should be spiritually sensitive. That is the way I choose to take it. I would also listen to other people's position. Thank you.
Thank you.
Since we're going on conspiracy theory, I have a totally different dimension. You know, since we're talking about possibilities, none of us knows what happened. But if we look at it this way, in those days, rumors were passed very quickly. So David sent men, right? They didn't say he sent a secret person to go. He sent his men to go and get Bathsheba. She came and spent the night in his house. Definitely, there were rumors around. Do we know whether those rumors had already gotten to Uriah in the war front? And he knew. Maybe he was sensitive. Maybe he knew exactly what David was trying to do. And he's like, I'm not going to go. So he did everything else. He ate the food. He drank the wine. He did everything except what would be natural, to go home and go and meet his wife. And then when he's telling David, you know, the ark, maybe he's like, you know how when you use style and tell somebody something, I know what you are doing. The ark is there, is at the war front. My soldiers are there. I'm not going to go home. Like, now, let us see what you're going to do. That's possible, right? And the second thing I want to bring out of it is that in this life, we should, you know, when something, I don't know, how should I put it? David thought this was a foolproof plan, right? Because the one thing that all of us have different, everyone has brought in a different opinion, but there's one thing that we have all said, Esther, Kebi, Daddy, Mommy, one thing that everybody has said is that it is not natural for a man to not want to go home. So David would have thought that was a foolproof plan. So sometimes in life, when we think that something is so easy, we think we have a way out. We think we don't need to bring God into anything. And this, I'm not even talking about David, right? We say, this thing is very easy. This is like a normal, this is natural thing. And then that thing doesn't happen the way that we want to. So no matter how easy something looks, no matter how foolproof, you know, there's some things that we go to God for because we're like, this one is going to be something serious. And there's some things that we think, I don't need to bring God into it now. That one is a sure banker. Sure banker isn't always a sure banker. Because no matter how simple, no matter how easy something looks, you always need to bring God into it because it can seem like a foolproof, but it will not be foolproof. So that's just another part that I want to bring into it. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, man.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I just want to keep it in. I don't know if it's bit different from what every other person has expressed, but the thing is that I think God, that is why He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega. That is why He's the Creator of heaven and earth. You and I, as you are seated here, because nobody understands His ways. Fine, as brethren in the household of faith, you know, sometimes we tend to feel that okay, you are not spiritually minded, or I'm higher in grace than you are. If something happens to a fellow brother, we are so quick to just say that that brother is because of his. I cited something when I took the Bible study one day like that, you know, but I don't want to go into that. They will say could be because of his sinful nature. But meanwhile, every other righteous person out there that is righteous, and I'm not talking of self-righteousness now, that is righteous even in the eyes of God, suffers or goes through the same fate that this so-called sinful brother suffers. That is God for us. You know, in Isaiah, I think 55, verse 8 or 9, I can't remember, he says that God says our ways are not His ways, so our thoughts not His own thoughts. So that is where the almightiness comes to play. Now, I want to just cite three instances of some men of God that maybe something ugly, an ugly incident happened to. Bimbo, Pastor Bimbo Odukoya, there, you know, she lived a very short life. And, you know, then, to us, she was full of the Holy Spirit. You know, I keep wondering why she had to go that way, that early. You know, when you look at Uriah and this story we are talking about, not this topic now, when we begin to wonder that, how come? It was so painful, even in Nigeria then, that this woman that was famous for singles and married program, and she was on fire, but she boarded the flight. So can we say, I don't want us to even judge, but can we say she never had the Holy Spirit or she never had a premonition she was going to die? Why did she have to take the flight? Now, I think another popular man, is it Monroe? I don't know. I think he died on the same day with his daughter or with his wife, right? Yes. You know? Are we going to say the Holy Spirit? He wasn't full of the Holy Spirit and all that. That is God also. Then the other person I'm trying to remember now, the last person who also died, you know, that untimely. Okay, no. There was another scenario, I think, with Pastor Edekpo. I think he had his Thanksgiving ceremony to celebrate that thing. I think God, it was fortunate enough that God used maybe that the Pastor Adeboye, yes, I listened to that testimony because it was really a very huge celebration then. It was to travel, but God revealed to Daddy Adeboye. You know, he quickly picked his phone and called him and said, my son, this is what I saw. He went to pray for him, right? Just to avert such. So that is still God at work. So that's how God works. His ways are not our ways. You understand? You know, sometimes when I was in the Catholic Church, when people will be trying to convince me and be saying that they are Pentecostal is better than the Catholic Church and all that, you know, but I will prove to them that the Catholic that me I am, you understand, my Bible has, seriously, the day I used to argue with them, they'd be like, are you sure you're a Catholic? Because I used to know the Bible. I can quote for you, as your Bible taught you to do this and this and that. Is it because of your church that you are alive today because you attend Pentecostal? No. The same fate you suffer, the same thing happens to me. Even worse things might be happening to you being in Pentecostal. You know, I'm just trying to keep that in. So, God's ways, no one can ever understand. But the key thing is this. we should always, you know, tread that path of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is there to teach us, to guide us, to lead us, and all that. You know, sometimes we say man proposes, but God disposes. This is how I want to do it. Or the Holy Spirit has even revealed. We have even had this time, they will say, the Holy Spirit revealed to me. I saw it in a revelation. But it turned out to be the other way around. Big people from the human perspective will begin to blame them. Was it that it was not led by the Holy Spirit? But that is God at work. That is almightiness. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My own little understanding of this topic is that David did not know that Uriah, that is why he knew. This topic is saying that don't play with sin. He wants to cover his sin. He don't want nobody to know. But God Almighty said, no. Whatever a man sow, he will reap. That's why God did it that way. I think God did it. He wants Uriah not to go. He can go and relax. But God knows the heart of a man. He knows what David has planned. He wants to hide his sin. But God wants to expose it. I think that's why I don't go home. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. Any other contribution? Thank
Praise
you.
God.
Hallelujah.
Personally, I feel like while it's true that God didn't want to, so I have two things. One is the setting. I feel we need to, I think that is going to shed a bit more light on the setting for us in terms of the military rank and file, right? David was the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, and he requested maybe a captain in the army to come. Who are you? Who are you? When the commander-in-chief has requested that he should come, he doesn't have any choice. That's this. Let's look at it from that setting. It's not now where the responsibility to the state, that's Israel as a state, state, let me use that word now, then supersedes your responsibility to your family. And that was why he said that, that's why I believe that he said, why will I go home when men like me are in the war front fighting? The ark of God is there. My commandants and all the other people in my battalion are there fighting. I will now go home. He's already going to be, he's going to be seen as a weakling for him to take that kind of a decision. And that's why he said, the Bible accounts that he slept with the king's guard, meaning what he's on duty. Going home means he's off duty. So he wanted to still be on duty. And that's why he remained with the king's guard. But because his commander-in-chief gave him drink. To drink? What is commander-in-chief gave him to drink?
Okay.
Anyway, okay. My second point is about some...
Okay. Daddy will help us to...
My second point... Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. My second point is actually where I want to agree with some of people who have spoken about. There are some things that happen in this life for God's will to be established. When those things are happening, there are some collateral damage. Now, Uriah wasn't the only one that died, though. He wasn't the only one that died. If you look at it, let's look at verse. He said, Uriah and some Israelites died. So those ones now, innocent people, David did not sleep with their wife. The matter did not concern them. But they died with Uriah because Joab withdrew the bulk of the force that was supposed to be on that war front on that day at that time were withdrawn. So maybe like 5 or 6 people that were with Uriah that were left were trapped there and they died. Collateral damage. Within yesterday, day before, between Sunday and today, there have been like 2 gunshot accidents in this country. Some people were not supposed to be at the garlic festival on Sunday. Ah, you are in Florida. Let us. What's happening in Florida? Let me go out. He went to the garlic festival and they got shot. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that I heard that there were some people that were not supposed to be there. I'm just giving an example. That there were some people that were not supposed to be there that day that went. There are some people that were not supposed to be at the other gunshot, the one at Walmart that happened this morning. And they went to Walmart. In fact, a man was one of the people that was reported to have actually just stepped out when the shooter went in. He was fortunate that he was not among the collateral. Meanwhile, this guy shot and killed 2 people that were working, that were his former employees. He killed one outside, he shot one inside. So there are some things that will happen in this life that will need to happen for God's will to be established. But there are some people that will pass along as that thing is happening. So we need to be prayerful and be more sensitive in the spirit so that if it's going to happen, it will happen. No, that's not the portion of a child of God. The portion of a child of God is that your going out and your coming in is blessed. So there are some things that you shouldn't believe. For example, my brother said something that, what was the word you used at the ending that you said? You said that, anyway, I'm compiling something I'll share with the church at some other time. That man proposes, God disposes. Me, what God disposed to me is my plans for you are of good and not of evil to give you a hope and a future. So your disposition should not be that God, if it's going to happen, it will happen. Prayer, just take it like that. No, we are not the heathen. We are not of the world. We are of Christ. And our heritage is in Christ. So our belief system, our faith system should be attached to that. Now, it doesn't mean that bad things will not happen. It doesn't mean that bad things will not happen, but there should always be a difference. There should always be a difference. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Daddy G, as we wrap up.
Thing is what we can learn at the end of the day. But I want us to read that there's a verse I want us to read first. Verse 8 of that 2 Samuel 11. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. I know there are so many interpretations, versions of Bible here and there. Go down to thy house and wash thy feet. We have added our own. Go down to your house. Go and visit your family. Does not say go and sleep with your wife. You can go to your house and spend 4 days. And still refuse to sleep with your wife. And you can decide not to go to your house and still get somewhere to wash your feet. For as long as you come back to let the king know I am around and to let him know you'll be going back to the battlefield. Now, that's one thing I want to also bring out there. Because there are versions who have put one thing or the other. Who is Uriah? Who is Uriah? A mere soldier. You see, you will never understand the behavior of this man unless you are a soldier. Who, even to be called by by the king. It's a fearful thing. Because you don't even know whether you will get back alive. You don't know whether you're going there, that's the end. It is when you get there, you begin to see or understand why you are there. Job, his commander, will merely just tell him, the king wants you. Of course, he didn't even know why the king wanted him. So it is on getting there. We are talking about soldiers, the mere soldiers, and a whole president. So that fear of the king, that fear not to do anything that will make the king to say, you did this, you are finished. And the best a disciplined soldier will do was what Uriah did. Stay there. So that the following day, there will be nothing like, the king, I tried to do this and this happened. The king may say no. That one that the king said, go to your house and wash, was not a commando. It's like somebody came to you and you know he's coming from a distance and say, okay, you can go home and go and rest. That person can decide to go home to rest or not. The king is just trying, that's under normal circumstances, not the one with David now. He was just trying to be, the king would just try to be nice to say, I give you permission, you can visit your family. But whether he visits his family or not, should not be the king's business any longer. That is at that point. But I want to come to, thank God for the points we have raised here. How come Bathsheba became the mother of the next king? How come? The same problem woman. How come? Because some of us raise the point, is there something bigger than both David and Uriah? But certainly bigger than Uriah. Could Uriah just be something that God just wants to use a person? If God can use a whole king to prove his almightiness, who is Uriah? In any case, we have forgotten the role that the devil can play. Okay, you sin, David. You knew you sin. Instead of you to go to God, you want to cover it. And the devil pushed him further and further and further into sin. And that's what happened. If quickly we don't run back to our source, to say, Father, have mercy. And seek for, the devil will continue to push the person and be bolding the person. So the person will be committing more and more sin, more and more sin, until such a time he will be completely consumed and a candle. That's what happened to David. Until he committed murder. Whereas at that first point, he was supposed to have gone to God. And there are things that probably God was teaching David. Now you have gotten to the throne. If you didn't do this before you got here, I am not going to tolerate it because I am a consuming fire. It also tells us that there is no sin that is hidden up. I know we have said here that is it possible for Uriah to have had? It is possible. It is possible for the servants, the same servant that David sent, to just say, be careful. Your wife was here. If I were you, what did the king say? He says to go home. Don't go home. There are some things too that probably we need to look at here. And we need to just be patient with God. God gave Abigail, isn't that not Abigail, to David. Without him, what did he do? Nothing. He didn't fight for it, for her. And platter of gold. God, couldn't David have waited even if he had seen a beautiful woman? You know those days a king can claim anybody. He can just call Uriah and say, God, this one is no more your wife. And Uriah will just say, the king lives forevermore. And turn back and go and find his own level. And there is no sin in it. Okay? Why couldn't David have waited? And if God can do it before, why couldn't David now remember? This same person who remembered when he was facing Goliath, that God did this for me, he did that for me. Now when it comes to things of pleasure, he can't remember again. That's what happens to us. When we are in trouble, when we are facing challenges, we can remember what, oh God, please help me in this. When it's time of pleasure. He couldn't remember again that God gave him a wife without him fighting for. And he went. And the moment he did that, God was waiting for him. And of course, the devil who took him up there saw it, saw that loophole that David has created. Ah, this is very good. The other thing, okay, is I think we should learn from the discipline of Uriah. These days, we talk about discipline from Sunday school district. There's no more discipline these days. That's why there's no more fear of God. There's no more self-discipline. People do things now because they are forced to do it. Because there's an environment. Or because they'll be seen. Or because there's a boss, there's a pastor, there's this. This self-discipline, that is the spiritual discipline, that takes us and makes us to say, you can't go beyond this. It's no more there. But I pray that God will reinforce it in us again in Jesus' name. Finally, God can use anyone to achieve his purpose. When I look at, when I read that account very well again, up to the point where Solomon became king, I have been saying, God, you are just awesome. You killed that child that was as a result of David's sin. And through the same woman, you raised a king that no king before him or after him was as wise as him, as famous, as rich. Greater than even David. Is God not just awesome? So if Uriah had to be used for God to get to that point, God will do it too. The important thing for us is to say, if God wants to use us to do that, that doesn't mean that, oh, we are condemned. In fact, anyone he uses, John the Baptist, Jesus said about him, no one born of woman was greater than him, and yet he was used. By the time Jesus was to start his ministry, he has to disappear. Uriah must disappear so that God's plan can be done. But what, without David going to kill him, probably Bathsheba would still have been his wife. Let us be patient with what we do so that God's purpose and plan can be fulfilled in our life. The Lord bless us in Jesus' name.
Thank you, sir. Pastor, 30 seconds, Sister Funke, 30 seconds. Pastor, you have anything to say, sir?
I know we've all said that Uriah was nobody, but that's not true. Let's go and look at the accounts in 1 Chronicles. David had 37 mighty men of. Uriah the Hittite was one of them. So he was not just anybody that David said, I should be scared. He was actually he was in the inner caucus of David. So let us just, I just wanted to clear that.
Thank you, man. So as we rise up, I just want to bring this out. Thank you very much for all our contribution. I know that the Spirit of God will water this and bring forth more understanding of his word to us. Just to wrap it up, I just want to, you know, piggyback on what Brother Shola had said. That, now it just flew off my head now. But anyway, so the ball of this is that, yes, The plan of God is bigger than us. But then, are we going to be the lamb that is going to be sacrificed? I call Uriah the casualty of David's sin. If you look at the account also of the children of Eli, yeah, God said he was going to deal with the children, Ophni and Phinehas. But remember that when that came to pass, it wasn't only two of them that died. Other people died in them. But why would those other people be there? Although it was the plan of God to actually kill them, but why should there be them that will be among those people that will die among? What I'm bringing out to us tonight is that in this wicked world that we are in, there's sins all over. Let us pray that we will not be a casualty of the sin of this world. We will not be casualty of the sin of the people around. Yes, but as Shola said, yeah, we have to see the days are evil, and God, whether we like it or not, will judge. All this perverseness and everything around is going to be judged. Our own is that when God decides to send his judgment, myself, yourself, your children, your household will not be a victim, will not be a casualty of the judgment of the sin of the people that have refused to hear the word of God. Brother Peter, are you raising your hand, sir? Okay, 30 seconds. Hallelujah.
I feel like sharing this. I don't know why we keep saying that. If it's actually the plan of God for Uriah to die, to me, and he didn't do nothing wrong, and if it's a part of God's plan for him to die, the way I see that, it means that death is not like, in the sight of God, it's not like a punishment to what someone have done. So the point is that if God plan for him to die, you know, like death, as we see naturally, it's like, okay, one life have been cautious, but in the sight of God, will be something better. God expects for us, the plans of God for us is far better than what we see on this earth. So we see, believe our righteous will die on time. So God plan, we just focus on this earth. If God take it from this earth to be better than this, why should we be complaining? Praise the Lord.
Okay, now I don't want us to miss, I know, Pastor Mo, I'm sorry, we are good. I don't want us to miss the point. The Bible did not record that God said Uriah was going to die. David could have had Bathsheba the other way than killing Uriah. Okay, do we all agree? He's the king. He could have commanded, but if God had planned that Bathsheba was going to bring the king, Uriah doesn't have to die. Okay, Uriah doesn't have to die. But we don't know the mind of God. We don't know if the agenda of God was Uriah to die. I want to believe that the agenda of God is not for Uriah to die. That's because it's thought towards us of evil and not of, you know, and our good, not of evil. But again, please, I just want to bring this to our conscious mind. With all the killings and everything around, these are the results of things that evil that people are doing. So we should pray on a daily basis not to be part of the casualties of this wicked, of the judgment of God. Okay? Things are happening. Let us not close our eyes and say, well, if that is the will of God, who says it's the will of God? Shall we rise up? Amen. Let's rise up. Now we're going to lift up our voices. Daddy Gio raised a prayer in the open heaven. I want us to pray that one prayer. And the prayer is, Father, don't let me operate in the dark on things concerning my life and my family. If someone operates in the dark, there's bound to, like I said, there's bound to be calamity, destruction, and death. So we need to ask God that God will help us not to operate in the dark. Yes, Uriah might be the plan of God for Uriah to have. I don't know what the plan of God is. But I want, let us just ask God that God should please open our eyes. That when the things that we need to know concerning ourselves, good, bad, whatever, God should just open our eyes to see them. Because even when things are not gelling, they are not working, still God would have told us, and he would have given us the grace to be able to withstand it. So let's ask God that Father should help us, that we will not be in the dark concerning things pertaining to us, pertaining to our household. Because that is when the devil strikes, we are not able to see. We are not, it is after the action has been done that we say, maybe if I had prayed yesterday morning, if I had fasted, if I
No, no, let's pray that God Almighty will, that God will not make us casualties of the of sin of others. Will our children, our spouses, they will not be among the casualties of the sins of others. In the name of Jesus, we will not fall because of others' mistake. We will not die because of others' mistake. Because of others, our destiny will not be destroyed. Our destiny will not be aborted in the name of Jesus because of others' mistake. Because of others' stiff-neckedness in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We ask, O Lord, Father, that you help us that we will not be casualties of other people's sin. We will not be casualties of other people's error and mistake and disobedience, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord God. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.